Hey, Community Church, it's Becca.
And Jim.
And we are here with another episode of the podcast. So this Sunday, I don't know if you guys got to see this. I hear that we had a large RV in our parking lot.
Yes, it was pretty epic. I'm not going to lie. I got to climb up on the ladder on this RV and see it from a different perspective. It was pretty cool, but it was awesome. We had Patrick Eads from Skylark who was with us. He's one of our partners here at the church and does some amazing work in this community. And anyway, we got to be a part of this RV mobile unit that is changing lives around here and literally, I mean, affecting life. And it was a really neat experience to go on the inside, see where they help people and do all kinds of things. So I'm excited about our conversation today with Patrick. We've learned today, Patrick also has a radio voice.
Apparently so.
That we may get to hear at some point.
You might have to pull it out here.
Today. So Rebecca, let us know who we're hanging out with today and we'll jump into this conversation.
Well, yeah, just like Jim said, we're so excited for this conversation with Patrick. He's, you know, our special guest today and he's the executive director of Skylark. And I've actually had the pleasure of getting to know Patrick and his family through the years. He's passionate. He's doing so much for our community. He has incredible wisdom. I know he's a mentor to even many of my friends. And he's really funny. He's so funny.
We like humor.
We dearly do. So I seem to really like him. You really can't be in a conversation with Patrick and not laugh at some point. So Patrick, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
My honor. Thank you. It's a privilege to be here. I'm just honored to be part of the podcast. It's cool. Beautiful.
Hey, no pressure. She set you up big on this funny thing. And so
I'm not going to be funny as a result of that. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
As monotone as you can be in this conversation.
To be humorous. I'm going to refuse to say
anything. So no pulling out the joke that's in your pocket, literally in this moment.
That was a great joke.
Awesome.
Well, we're going to start off first by just having you jump in to share a little bit of the heart and the vision of Skylark, what it is, even your heart and vision of that, and why you're passionate about this work.
Well, my heart and vision started in 1988. I shared with a church that I was at a church service and for Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Yeah. And the pastor made the statement, we're pro-life by conviction, but pro-choice by default. And that rocked my world. I was 24 years of age. I was I've been a Christian I committed my life to Christ when I was 18. Felt called in the ministry and actually thought I was going to be a pastor. And did not know at that moment what it was going to lead to. But that pastor, interesting enough, on that Sunday morning, he actually confessed. He said, I'm pro-life by conviction, by pro-choice by default. I've done a couple pro-life messages, but really done nothing to help anyone facing an unplanned pregnancy.
Yeah.
So he invited us to go to an abortion clinic and pray.
Wow.
And I'd never been to an abortion clinic, seen one. And we went the next Saturday morning, and I saw real women walking into an abortion clinic, real men and women, real family members. Mm-hmm. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, driving in from Kansas, Arkansas, from Texas, from states all around for abortions and abortion clinic. Mm-hmm. And you can't deny it once you see that. And that was the first thing. And then when my wife and I got married and we lost our first child in a miscarriage, really opened my eyes to, you know, as a married couple, you have no guarantee you're going to have children.
That's right. It's a miracle.
And it's an absolute miracle. Yeah, 100%. And my wife was finishing her psychology classes at that point. And her dean of students, it was interesting. She invited Natalie to do her at our college. We had to do a senior in your bachelor's degree, had to do a senior project that had to be over 25 pages type thing. And the dean asked her in the psychology department to do it on the grieving process following miscarriage.
Wow.
And it turned into the grieving process following miscarriage, abortion, and adoption.
Mm.
And that kind of brought us to the place of understanding the plight of women who, in the midst of pregnancy, whether it's wanted, unwanted, whatever the situation may be, how difficult it can be, the grieving process and the loss in a pregnancy. And so that kind of married us to the women. And then seeing the women and understanding life from the perspective of God's view, we were pretty much ruined. I mean, I don't think I can ignore what's going on with families and the hurt, the pain. You just can't. And I've been the person who's, because of my role in Skylark, I've been the person for the first time to hear men and women tell me about past abortions, and I would be the first person they've told. And even had a pastor who came and visited with me and confided in me that I had one situation where I told a woman, it's your best choice to have an abortion in this situation. and he'd been grieving it for years.
Wow.
And took him through kind of a little process to get healing and understand God's forgiveness in that. And I can't get away from it. I wanted to be a pastor, had opportunity to pastor, and I just know that, and I'm wired kind of, I'm a Enneagram 8, which tells me I should be helping people in the midst of injustices, and I can't just let an injustice go by, and even in small scenarios. Yeah. And I think this is the greatest injustice of our our generations. The last 40 years, it's been the greatest thing to face our culture. I mean, unborn lives, 61 million children that have not been able to live out their God-given gifting, in just in the United States.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I'm passionate. So I'm grateful for Barry Parker, who attends the community church, who was part of getting it started here in Southeast Georgia.
Yeah, it's really amazing what y'all do. I know this is a topic I feel like it maybe it's gotten more focus lately, I feel like, in the news some, but it's one of these topics I think is so hard for people to engage in, because you don't really know what you can say. You know, my wife and I, we've experienced two miscarriages in our life. And even that, there's so many emotions and guilt. And even with pregnancy or considering abortion, there's just so, it's messy. And I feel like as a church, oftentimes we don't even know where to have that. Can we say anything? Are we not allowed to say anything? And
it
creates isolation. Yeah. There's just the fact that there's someone in some place like Skylark saying, no, we see you, I think is a really big deal. And so I just want to say I appreciate that. And so I would love to even to hear from your perspective, as you've been doing this, you have this conviction, you've been a part of this and being able to help steward this. Where have you seen the Lord move, or where have you seen Skylark really make an impact? I know you shared some stories the other on Sunday with us, but I would love just to hear like where you see really lives are being changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the greatest joy is getting the testimony of families that, you know, 10, 12, 20, 25 years ago, a life is being lived because we were there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with also what we're doing in the schools, encouraging purity messages, I don't generally go a day without going somewhere and either having a very positive, affirming message of, hey, you made a difference in my life by encouraging me to make wise choices.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't trade that. You can't trade seeing someone living who wouldn't have been living if the ministry wasn't there. I don't have as much personal interaction with the clients, but knowing what our team does, what our volunteers and our team does to help families in the midst of a crisis situation, it's unbelievable. I had one today on the mobile unit who, after an ultrasound, chose life. So you just, it doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. Doesn't mean that child may not be in poverty.
Totally.
But a child in poverty gets a chance to live anyway.
There's a chance.
And and there's always a chance for them to experience God's best in the midst of that situation.
So that mobile unit you're talking about, that was the RV we were talking about the first part of this episode. And so that's been something y'all have been able to take into areas that maybe don't have this care or have opportunities for people to seek help.
Yes. For years, we knew that, like, for example, in Hinesville, Georgia, that the number of abortions per person was very high, rate of abortion out of Hinesville, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And had several people that wanted to start a work in Hinesville, but no one that actually took the steps of starting a work in Hinesville. So I had this idea of let's do this mobile unit. There are other centers that have done it. It's not, it wasn't a fresh idea with me, but just to get to Hinesville was, and so we partnered with an organization called ICU Mobile that's helped several pregnancy centers. And they do this, they have this a formula for figuring out where to go park the mobile unit. And we didn't tell them where we thought that we would go.
Yeah.
And we're a little bit different model. A lot of people that do mobile units are more in a very big, an urban area with millions of people. And so it's a little bit different model. We're one of the few that is kind of in a, we're not rural, but you know what I mean? Not as populated. And anyway, Hinesville was one of the spots. And we're actually in Hinesville twice a week. And we generally speaking, we'll have every hour that we're there filled with clients. We're also in Nahana and on Mondays, Waycross on Wednesdays, and Folkestone on Fridays. We couldn't find an M. If we had an M, we'd do that. But so Nahana was close to M, so it's Nahana on Monday and Waycross Wednesdays and Folkestone Fridays. Yeah. Hinesville works on, you know, Tuesday, Thursday. It's just, so, you know.
So while y'all are there, you're basically showing up and just being a place where women that are pregnant or that are considering this can walk in, seek help. There's a nurse on board. I mean, they can offer help.
We have a mobile operation manager, Ebony, and our one of our nurses. Right now, Angie is going to be the primary nurse there. And yes, they. It's interesting. People, you'll see people drive up with their car, go real slow, and take pictures, and then you'll get a phone call in a few minutes in the mobile unit. Or people will pull in, park, and just knock on the door, and we'll serve them. It's kind of fun. Sometimes we've had as many as two clients at one time. We'll keep one in the front, one in the back, and serve two clients at the same time. So it's been fun. It's been a new, you know, none of us had experience with RVs.
Sure.
So there's a lot of things with RVs.
Learn to drive one, back them up.
Yes, all that's the fun of it. Yeah, it's fun. I even have a nurse that refuses to drive the mobile unit because she had a dream that she drove it off the Turtle River Bridge.
We don't want that to happen.
So we're like, okay, well, it's an excuse. I'll take it. I don't want to drive it off the Turtle River Bridge. Okay.
Yeah.
So when a woman goes to one of these clinics or to the mobile clinic or walks into Skylark, what can they expect as they walk up? I think it might be helpful to know.
It's just to get to know you. Really, really, I'm training our volunteers and staff. We're trying to make a friend here. And then we're just going to find out our background, find out our family history, and find out if there's opportunities and doors for ministry. You know, with being a Christ-centered ministry, we're obviously looking for an opportunity to share the gospel.
Sure.
About half the time, we're able to share the gospel. The clients either open to it, and about 10% of our clients make a commitment to Christ. Yeah. So in that, we call it a history, just getting a history, just building a friendship, building a rapport, trying to find out where the client's coming from, and then at some point talking about their sexual behavior and what's kind of led, where are they in that. And then the majority of our clients still come for a free pregnancy test or come for the ultrasound. Those are the two main reasons that they come. And then we have the sexually transmitted disease and testing and treatment. They come for that as well. So in all those opportunities, we're looking for bridges of hope, bridges of compassion, bridges to minister life, that's hope, beautiful, and peace in the midst of their crisis situation. Yeah. And the great news is we get a lot of great feedback. The ladies and men that serve in our organization do a really good job of connecting. Can't say that we connect with every client, but it's pretty rare that we don't connect. And it's pretty rare that, we live in a culture where people aren't used to people listening to them anymore. And the greatest compliment of my team, and I tell my team this, the greatest compliment you can receive is that somebody listened to me. Wow. And that's what we strive for, that they'll know that somebody listened, maybe couldn't solve all their problems, but listened and gave opportunities to figure out what are some ways that we can help you.
Yeah,
that's cool. Amazing. I love that.
When you think about, I think a lot of people have, you know, a heart for people that are in this crisis moment or in the season of life where they're trying to make this choice about their child and with pregnancy. But I think it's definitely something I think a lot of people don't even know how to engage with, or like, what do I do about that? Yeah, I have a heart. I want to help with that, but what do I do? What is your even, and I know part of it may be helping get involved with what you guys are doing, but even from somebody that's not even connected or living somewhere that Skylark is, how can we engage in people's story to be a benefit?
Well, it's interesting you ask that because we're affiliated with CareNet, and CareNet is a national organization that has about 1,150 pregnancy centers associated with them. And I have a really great president of CareNet who's inspired some things like doing some national polling. And interesting enough, the polling discovered that and it's affirmed with other polls that about 40% of women who have abortions attend church regularly.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, the large majority of them attend church weekly. So it's an issue for the church. And so as a result of that, CareNet's developed a program called Making Life Disciples that's intended to help your average church participant know how to be someone that knows how to respond to someone in a way that's not going to turn them off. You know, that's not going to come out with some caustic statement that's going to immediately turn them away.
Right.
And so it's interesting because we're in the midst, we're hosting a breakfast for pastors at the end of the of February, hoping to present that to pastors and say, hey, we'd love for this curriculum to be part of your church, you know, involvement to get some folks in the church connected so that it can be, and here's the deal. We're a parachurch organization. We recognize that significantly. We realize we can't be the church. We realize for the clients that commit their life to Christ that they need a place to be discipled. Yep. And we recognize that real change doesn't happen at Skylark. It can start there, but real change happens in the church. And so we want a stronger connection to people in the church that would be willing to say, I want to be trained because I want to disciple women that once they've made a decision, I can be there for them and their partner and be an example to them and a partner. So who has no, you know, example, you know, that we've seen a cultural change in the last 60 years of kids not growing up with their mom or their, or excuse me, without their dad, a lot of broken families. And, but in the church, there's families that they can learn from and grow from. And so, so that's actually an initiative that we've experienced with CareNet. We want to begin to share that with our local churches. So that could be a way to to practically help some people know, you know, how do I respond? What can I do?
I think it's something interesting. I've walked through this with a friend who was considering abortion, and I remember, you know, I'd never experienced it up close like that. I didn't live here at the time, and it was the first time I felt like I was talking with someone and I actually tried to put myself in their shoes. This person would have been ostracized from their whole family. They faced enormous amounts of pressure to, you know, go through with an abortion from someone that they love deeply. It was like I took myself, and as I was listening to their story, I took myself and said, if I was really this woman, like, how would I want someone to treat me?
And that's the perspective you have to have. You have to, you have to completely empathize with them, or else you can't minister to them. And so it sounds like you did the right thing.
Yeah. I was just thinking about in terms of our church, I don't know. And even that kind of discipleship program that you're talking about, you know, even teaching us how to do that and love well.
Yeah. Well, you said it too earlier. You're saying, you know, we want to make a friend, you know, and I think that's so much when we think about people that are in these other circumstances that are not necessarily what we're in the moment. We do separate ourselves from them, or we go, how do I, you're almost untouchable sometimes, I feel like, especially with this topic.
Right.
And it's like, no, how do we make a friend?
Right.
It's called, I mean, you mentioned the word abortion and you're going to have one of two responses. You're going to have people that are, you know, completely against it. You're going to have people that are completely for it. And it's sometimes very difficult to know where to tread and how to tread, as you're saying. And so, but with the individual who's facing this decision-making process, really that's it, becoming a friend and doing the best you can to completely understand from their perspective. And it actually, I've even told my volunteers and staff members, look, it's actually okay to say, wow, if I was ever in this situation, I might know why she wants to do this. Doesn't mean you affirm it. Doesn't mean that you are going to encourage it. It just means that you've come to the place of empathy that you can actually say, I felt what he or she was feeling in this decision-making process.
What would you, if, you know, in life, if we ever just interact with someone who's making, you know, having a decision put before them, you know, we want to be friends, but like, are there resources or how should that conversation go to help people that really are facing this decision?
Well, we'd love for a referral to us. We feel like we can help with that. I mean, I think we're your, what do you call it? Lifeguard. We'd love to be your lifeguard in that way and be the immediate response to it. But ultimately I think you befriending them or you can, you loving and caring for them is the greatest. I mean, it's just it's the greatest influence is you being there for them to help them, to support them.
And maybe even going with them.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We've had that. We have several friends. We've had, matter of fact, in some cases, two and three friends that have come along with a girlfriend or a guy, or And so, yeah, it's a great thing to do, to come yeah. along. And, yeah. And that would be the hope, that would be some things that would happen, that we can refer back to each other and in and out and be a partner in, mm-hmm. in helping people in a crisis mm-hmm. situation.
Cool. Patrick, this has been great. I know we got to cut our time mm-hmm. here, but we just have really enjoyed getting to hear a little more about what God's doing at Skylark. I just want to say thank you again for your conviction and just your willingness to be obedient, because that's how we talk about here all the time. That's how we change the world.
Yep.
We listen to what the Lord says to us, and we just are obedient with that. And he's going to be the one to do the work. And so I'm just excited to see what all is coming through Skylark, what the Lord's already done in it. And I just say thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
So, hey, at the end of this podcast, we have a little bit of a tradition that we always do after our conversation. We end in one question, and we always say this can't really be a spiritual church answer. So we don't want any of those.
Okay.
But in your season of life right now, what's your favorite thing?
My favorite thing is annoying people. I just anything I can do to get under their skin and make them frustrated
okay.
Anything I could do to that. I mean, my one
instigator over here.
Oh yeah. Whatever I can instigate is absolutely fantastic.
It just makes you happy in life.
Annoy someone.
Okay, last story of when you annoyed someone.
Ooh.
I've had some annoyings today. Was it yesterday? They were all standing around the copy machine in the front. I said, excuse me, y'all need to get out of the way from someone who's really working today.
Those are danger words, man.
It was fun. They were like, and they all like snapped their head back at me and they're all like,
and you're just smiling.
Like, yeah. Well, then Laurel Carlton, one of your church members and volunteers, then slapped me with a bag. And I said, okay, workplace violence. Okay. This is good.
Stuff. I love that. So that's just, you're just creating fun in the workplace. That's what you're going for.
Some or wherever. Call it.
So
restaurant. I went into
people call it fun.
The new, wake up.
Yeah. Great spot. Said,
this place is a little sterile, isn't it?
That first reaction from that person is worth it. Though.
And then the person who was working behind the counter, mm-hmm. it was, yeah.
That's
triggered.
Awesome. Favorite Patrick Eads' favorite thing is annoying people.
Yes. Do you relate with that, Jim?
Well, I maybe am the same way as you. I'm not going to lie. People that know me, I love to instigate. I love to mess.
Joy.
You know, it's just we're keeping people on their toes.
That's right. We're
keeping it fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes people are too serious.
And then you did say my stage of life. So I'd be amiss if I didn't also say one of the favorite things of my life right now is my grandkids. So three of those now. And that's phenomenal.
That's awesome.
And I will be annoying them too.
Congratulations. So. That's awesome.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining this podcast today. Please share your feedback, stories, and other comments with us on social media or email us at podcast@sscommunitychurch.com. Thanks again, Patrick, and thanks for this conversation. Hope you have a great week.
See you later.